And now, Stone, do we have the next all-star celebrity joining us?
I believe we do.
Is Anish Chopra on the line?
The one and only.
Hey, Justin, it's Anish. It's so nice to hear your voice.
How are you, Anish?
Well, I couldn't be. Well, we're of two minds, right? We're ecstatic about the state of policy, but really despondent about COVID-19. And so how can I be both exuberant and enthusiastic, but somber at the same time? It's a little bit hard.
Excellent. But you are wearing your pink socks, correct?
Virtual pink socks.
I love it. I love it. I know we can't. It's hard to be. We've got so much happening in our lives right now. But I love your energy, your enthusiasm. And I know with bright people like you and brilliant people like you, we will solve these issues and we'll solve them more quickly. So thank you for being here today.
Well, I'm excited to join you this morning and excited about, hopefully keeping the momentum moving on the heels of yesterday. So happy to dive in.
You got it. So what healthcare or health IT trends are you seeing in the industry, my friend?
Well, look, I see the lens as I see it, which is the public-private interface. And there are three things that I'm paying attention to. Number one, the regulatory news from yesterday, there has been this consistent drumbeat for the last decade that the information we need to do a job to make healthcare better is a little bit of a collective action problem. No one actor is evil and getting in the way, but collectively we just haven't made as much progress. With a new floor, a regulatory floor, I'm very confident that this will lead to a trend of less discussion about the need for interoperability and much more of a focus on uses. So that's point number one. The trend here is liquidity is coming / interop talking points are going to fall. That's hope, number one. The second public-private interface that I'm focused on is payment reform. All of this is moot if we don't have an economic model that drives better value in the healthcare delivery system.
So true.
Paying a great deal of attention on two models specifically. CMS launched Primary Care First to rip the Band-Aid off primary care capitation and has opened the window for any other health plan to join, whether that's a commercial plan, another Medicare Advantage plan, a Medicaid managed care plan, or a healthcare.gov plan. Any kind of plan can participate in the model so that a greater share of a physician's panel could be organized under the same economic arrangement. That should make it a lot easier for doctors to participate in this new model when you don't have to practice one kind of medicine in the morning and then a second kind of medicine in the afternoon, depending on the particular contract with which that patient is, the insurance contract tied to the patient. So point number two is how many plans will join CMS in ripping the Band-Aid on primary care capitation. Related to that is the new direct contracting model, where CMS basically said, we've had these two worlds, unmanaged fee-for-service that's evolved into ACOs, but there's also been this sort of dive into Medicare Advantage if you want to go full risk. Now there's a happy alternative, which is for physicians that want to stay in the traditional Medicare program, but want the economic arrangement to align the incentives for capitation akin to what they might do in a global risk contract in MA. That's the second area in this pay-to-value trend that I'm exploring. How many health plans join Medicare, and how deep does the Medicare program on capitation run across the delivery system? So we talked about interoperability as trend one. We've talked about payment reform as trend two. Near and dear to my heart in trend three is the broader transparency movement. How do we make aggregate data sets available for us to understand what works and what doesn't in the healthcare delivery system? And that is where, first of all, it's my day job at Care Journey, but it's also CMS leading the way, adding Medicaid encounters to the Medicare open data sets means that 120 million billion Americans' claims history is available for research to study what is or is not working, which physicians, networks, and facilities are delivering better care relative to their peers.
I love it. I love it. So
the source of all that public-private collaboration. Yep.
Yeah. So just on that last part there, what can we do? That's an area where transparency is massive, significant in my world as well. Where can we push on that? Or how do we become more transparent? And what levers do we pull there, in your opinion?
So the government's starting with what it can do, mm-hmm. which is that which is under its control to release. The very obvious next step is how do we create a comparable movement amongst the private plans? Mm-hmm. I'm on the board of the Healthcare Cost Institute. We've been a voluntary collaboration amongst a few key plan partners. Can we scale that model where health plans create effectively a virtual research enclave so that we can look across all population types, not just government-sponsored, for understanding what works? That's on the claims and administrative data side. You and I, Justin, have talked in the past that the holy grail is to get to quality data, which involves the EHR information. And so how do we create the same culture of openness and sharing as it relates to quality data? And will that come because the government will mandate some of that? Will it become part of the norm because we voluntarily created the conditions for these sort of clinical registries to pop up? That's an open question, but one that we will be spending the next X number of months and years grappling with, Justin.
No, I completely agree. I think my closing question is to stay on this a little bit. Roberta just shared it with me. What plan, do plans have incentives to do that yet, or what do you think there, the other plans?
That's a great question. I think the no individual plan feels like their willingness to go open is going to give them an immediate advantage. We almost need to have multiple plans diving off the deep end at the same time to really feel like it. We all know that it's better to have transparency, but we're anxious about going first.
Right.
So I fear the industry is waiting on government action. Mm-hmm. If you remember the bipartisan Lamar Alexander, Patty Murray bill, Lowering Healthcare Costs Act, I believe they called it last year,
yes.
included a national all-payer claims database. That would have been a vehicle for that public-private model to take hold with a bedrock of government action. Short of that, I think there may be a few opportunities for us to do that. States are doing it with APCDs, and the more we both collect the data and open it up for a myriad number of uses, the better we're going to be.
Love it. So in our final minute or so, what do you love most about the interoperability rule yesterday? Since that is so timely. What do you think is the best component of that bill, that rule? I mean,
well, look, culturally and technically, making sure that everyone has to point the data to consumers mm-hmm. just completely reduces the concerns about, well, I can't share because of HIPAA, what's data minimization, all the contractual, call them, in the U.S. government, we used to have a term for this, which is the non-technical trade barriers. So you'd have global trade, and then you have all these random barriers that get in the way that are not tied to the trade agreement. We have in the B2B world of healthcare data sharing a lot of non-tariff trade barriers. On the consumer side, it's clear. So as long as everyone knows the rules of the road, connect to the consumer, then we can empower individuals to trust the networks that they believe will help them make smarter decisions. That has to be the most important takeaway from yesterday. Mm. And my hope is that once we get beyond this, we will move those non-tariff trade barriers through policy and other means in order to get to the better place. So that's what I take on the conversation.
Yep. Awesome. Anish, I truly appreciate your time, my friend. I know you have a busy schedule. You have a lot going on. You're always a phenomenal guest and supporter of the show. So thank you, my friend.
Keep up the great work, Justin. Mm-hmm. Have a great day.
You as well, my friend. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.